So honored to be with you. Thank you, babe. I love you too. Here's an earring from last week's teaching, as I must have got too excited and couldn't keep it in there. So honored. If this is your first time, again, we just want to say thank you for spending quality time with us. We believe that our heart is to empower you to do the Word of God, to empower you. I shared with you last week that it's our job to equip the saints. The Word of God, if you're looking for a job description for Pastor Stephen and I and our team, it's to equip you to do the work of the ministry. And so our heart is to prepare and hear the Word so that we can all be on the same page and move forward as God has for us. And as you saw the bumper, as we started out and we've started these past couple of weeks, it says the time is now. And you might be asking yourself, what is the time is now all about? And the time at the very beginning, it says there's a time for talking and there's a time for action. And so the talking has been the prep time, and the action is going to be the time that you're going to take this week that you maybe have been taking in the past weeks, and that we're going to take, Pastor Stephen and the team and all of us together are going to take the next 2 weeks together for At the Movies. And so if you were with us at all, we began this series 3 weeks ago at our Shores location. I feel like it was at our Shores location. And we began this series kind of talking and prepping you. So if you weren't there, I felt in my heart just to kind of bring all the pieces of the puzzle together today. And so I want to paint to you a picture of what the early church looked like. If you were there with us, then this is just going to be a little bit of just re-listening. But if you weren't there with us, the early church had a pattern. And in Acts, you begin to see how this pattern took place. The disciples had been with Jesus. They had walked and talked with him for those years that they were with him. And Jesus has died on the cross, rose from the dead, and he has spent about 50 days with them. He had spent about 50 days walking among them, giving them instructions. And so they go to the Mount of Olives, and he begins to prepare them. He says to them, the Holy Spirit is going to come. He's going to come, and he's going to have his place in you. And he's going to come and live for you. Now, this is an interesting thing. I'm wondering how they felt since they didn't know what the Holy Spirit was. They really didn't have any idea what the Holy Spirit looked like, because all they had reference to was that they had a Jesus who walked and talked among them, who did miracles, who sent them on missions, who helped them participate in miracles, who gave them guidance and instruction. And I'm just kind of wondering between all of us, how that must have felt, because he was preparing them for something that they did not know what to expect for. And so he takes them to the Mount of Olives, and that's where he makes his ascension up to heaven. And from that place, he says, go wait in Jerusalem. Go wait in Jerusalem, and there'll be something that will come upon you and come among you. And so it's the time of Pentecost. And really, the interesting thing about the Pentecost was about Thanksgiving. It was actually a festival of Thanksgiving, and it lasted for a couple of weeks. There was about three festivals that the church participated in, and so this was the festival of Thanksgiving, the Pentecost. And so they were in Jerusalem, and here were the Jews were. Now, there was about 120 Christians at this time. There was about 120, and they were waiting together for something that they did not know what they were waiting for, but they knew the Word, and the Word was the Holy Spirit. But for that, just so you know, they didn't really know what the Holy Spirit was or what it looked like or how it functioned. All they knew was Jesus. And that Jesus talked of God the Father, and he said, I don't do anything but what the Father tells me. So that they knew that Jesus was an action of God the Father, but they had yet to be introduced to the Holy Spirit, though that Jesus had told them about the Holy Spirit, that he was coming. So they're up in this room, and they're waiting, and they have this, it says, as a rushing mighty wind came upon them, and it says that they were filled in the house, and they all began to speak with other tongues and an unknown language, and began to prophesy and exalt God. Now, I want to share something with you. I need to look it up and study it, so I could be saying something that's not quite all the way true. Can you handle that? Because usually I say, this is truth. So I'm going to tell you that I have yet to study it. But just in the inside of me, and this is not a bad thing about the song that we just sang, about the Spirit of the Lord is here, come fall on us. But the reality of it is he fell back then on Pentecost. He already fell. The promise was already made when the Holy Spirit came, and he came and lived among them. So if you're in there, don't Google if the whole, have that question. We'll Google it at home this week and just do a study together. So the one thing that I'm wondering is, see, the moment that you get born again, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in you. See, I wrote this down. It says, the evidence of the Holy Spirit, because we say, the evidence is all around. Well, the evidence of the Holy Spirit is you. You're the evidence of the Holy Spirit. There is no other evidence of the Holy Spirit but you listening and obeying the Holy Spirit. You're the evidence of the Holy Spirit. Because guess what? When he came among us, he came, he's not floating in thin air out among us. He's actually living and breathing in us. Does that make sense? We have this idea that the Holy Spirit is this thing that's floating around in the thin air, but he's really not. He lives in you. And for the evidence of the Holy Spirit to manifest himself and to be a reality to other people around us, it means that he has to come out through you. And he does that. It lives in us. He is our comforter. He's the one who, if you have what we call in Christianese terms, an unction, or you people say this in the Christianese form. They say, I have a red flag. Anybody know what a red flag is? Or you get a check, or something just doesn't sit right with you. Or you feel like, hey man, I saw somebody in the grocery store. I'm supposed to go up and say something to them. Or I feel like in my heart, that's the Holy Spirit. That's the evidence of the Holy Spirit in you, abiding in you. But the evidence to the world that he's in you and among us is you obeying the leadings of the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? Thank you. I think it's very good too. If you're waiting for and the Holy Spirit did, again, we can study this together this week. Look up the ways that he manifested. He came through a wind. He came through things. But the other thing is he came one time. And what happens is those 120 were, they said that they were filled. And at that point, Peter stood up, and because people were wondering what the stirring was. Because here's the thing. If the Holy Spirit is in you and he's alive in you and moving in you, then that will cause a ripple effect in your life. People will want to know, because guess what? There will be power associated with your life. Because when the Holy Spirit came upon them, there was power, there was evidence of the Holy Spirit, there was evidence of the work of the Holy Spirit through praying in tongues. They began to lay hands on the sick. And it says the people came all around them. And at that point, Peter had an audience and he began to preach repentance. He began to preach Jesus. He said things like, you guys are the one that put him on the cross. But because you put him on the cross, you now see that he died and that he rose again. He began, and it says on that very day, the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came down upon them for the first time, it says that 3,000 were saved. 3,000. Now, something happened, and this is the part that I wanted to share with you. Something happened. The church pattern was formulated at that time. The way the church was supposed to function, because what happened was is there was something that set in place and it caused growth. If anything causes, we do this as a church team. We do this as a family. We take an evaluation at the end of the year, always. We say, hey, what things are working? What things aren't working? And then if it's not working, why would we repeat it? Because you know, that's the definition of insanity, right? Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. And so we endeavor here not to be insane. Right? And so what happened was the church set a pattern and there was growth in that pattern. And here's what it says that they did together. You go read it. It's in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 1, 2, and 3. You read it. The pattern was that they heard the teaching of the disciples, which meant that they heard the word. They did something else together. It says that they fellowshiped together, small groups. They fellowshiped together. They heard the word Sunday morning. They fellowshiped together and taught each other the word. And they did that in small groups. That's what you call them. Because it says they went to houses and they had meals together. They went to coffee shops together. We do those. I don't hardly go to the coffee shop, either Front Porch or Cares, where there's not a group of you usually hanging out talking among each other. So there was teaching. There was fellowship and there was meals, and it says that there was prayer. It says that there were those things, and it says the church grew how? Thanks. The church grew daily because of these things that were in the life of the church. So if that's what happened and the church grew by 3,000 in one day, but after that first event it grew daily, then if it worked for them, then it's got to work for us. So I'm encouraging us together that if we can see that we come and hear the word, then after we hear the word, we break off and we talk about the word together. We fellowship the word together. We break bread together. We drink a little latte together, and we discuss the word, and we grow our faith amongst each other. And then the word of God says that we pray for one another that you might be whole. Four things that the church does. That was week one. Because here's the thing. Sorry. There's no sense in us doing at the movies and you bringing a friend, which you're going to do, right? So shake your head. Everyone shake your head. This is how it goes. This is how you say yes. So there's no sense in you doing that part if we don't do this part well already. Does that make sense? If we're going to bring the lost, the broken, the hurting, those that do are far from God, if we're going to bring them in, we have to bring them into something that's functioning well and proper to the word. And that's how it is. So hear the word. So when you bring this person, And you begin to disciple this person and you bring them alongside with you, you say, hey, you know what? I go to church at 9 a.m. on Sunday mornings. Now, we don't have small groups right now, but guess what? There's going to be small groups end of January. Now, I'm going to probably lead a small group. Everyone shake your head now. That's how this goes. I'm going to probably lead a small group. And I'm going to lead small, and I'd love to have you in it. What kind of small group would you be interested in? Because see, it's really not about you anyway. So at this point, you say, what kind of small group would you be interested in? And then you do a small group. And then you invite them. And then you ask them to invite all their unsaved people, too. And then you do a small group. And then when you're doing your small group, see, they're growing. And they're coming with you on Sunday at 9 a.m. And then they're coming to your small group on Tuesday evening. And then guess what else? And then you're saying, hey, you know what? After our small group, sometimes we go to dinner. Or after 9 a.m. And this doesn't have to be a weekly thing. It's just a thing that you do. And then at the end of small group, you say, hey, can I pray for you? Four things. And this is how the church grows. Last week, we began to talk about how to take the initiative in our lives. And the very first thing that we talked about was, how many of you can remember, we do what? Start. Thanks, Pop. How we take initiative with life, with the people out there that don't know Christ, is we start a line. We start a line, which means you start something, you start gathering people to you. Those that don't know God, you start a line. And after you start a line, how many of you know what you do? You next, you stay what? Stay in the line. Stay in the line. Remember, I gave the analogy that as you bring people in that don't know Christ, as you bring people in and they begin to have the awareness of who God is in their life, and they begin to know who God is in their life. Remember what I said. If you ever got in the line with a 2 or 3-year-old, the reality of it is they're this tall. Remember, they're this tall. And all they can see is butts. Remember, we said that all they can see is butts or the back of other little heads. Because the reality of it is they cannot see yet what God has for them. They don't have a reality of who all that he is. They don't have a reality of his goodness, of his healing, of his greatness, that he can save their marriage, that he can heal their body, that he wants to increase them, that he wants to give them joy and peace. That's what they cannot see that. So they hold tightly to your hand while they're seeing butts. And then the reality of it is they are in reality seeing B-U-T, not B-U-T-T, but they are thinking, but will God, but will God, but will God. And the more that they hold onto your hand, the more that the reality of who God is will show up in their life. But you have to stay in the line. The last thing we said was you gotta cross the line. You gotta cross the line. And I shared with you how I ran my fourth half marathon. It was my least favorite one. I'm going to tell you why. I felt real empowered the first 4 miles as I was right in the draft of Carlos and my son. I was in the draft, but I was good because I was just in their draft, you know. As long as you can see somebody, it's all right. As long as you can, you know, you're like, ooh, I can feel the wind, you know what I mean? And I was trailing, but pretty soon, you know what, I couldn't keep that pace. And so I fell behind. probably a good, I don't know how many minutes behind, but some minutes behind. And I told you about how I was trying to find every Tom, Dick, and Harry to have a conversation with. Just to help me cross the line. Because I needed someone to be a pace setter with me. I needed someone to be alongside to say, we got this. I know what it's like to cross the line. Me and Misty have crossed the line. One time we crossed the line in a little run that we did. How many miles was that? I don't know, 3 or 4. I don't even remember. 5. And there could be only one winner, and we decided there wasn't going to be one winner, so we held hands. We held hands and crossed the line together. I want to tell you something. I'd rather run 5 miles holding someone's hands than run a lifelong marathon by myself. Any day of the week, cross the line in your life, but do it with somebody alongside you. I'm going to finish it up today with 3 things. Our friend Artie Tillett, he has a little phrase that he always says. He always says, fiction or fact from Artie's almanac. It's funny. Fiction or fact from Artie's almanac. And I got to thinking yesterday, just this past couple weeks, as this has been stirring in my heart, how I wanted to end today. And I want to share with you, I've been serving the Lord almost all my life. I've been serving in the local church almost all my life. I can remember from the earliest days of my life coming and cleaning the church with my parents. My parents had a marriage class that they did for years. I would remember being almost the very first ones to the church. My daddy would go pick up Dunkin' Donuts and bring them to his class and make coffee. Those are my earliest memories are on Saturdays that there was no TV on in our house. It wasn't a religious thing. It was an honor thing. It was preparing they prepared themselves. They both worked regular jobs. They were not in full-time ministry. My dad owned a business and my mom was, worked in social work but they taught a class for marriage for over years and years and years. You can ask them today when they come. But every single Saturday, there were Bibles spread all out over our dining room table, and they sat there, and they took in the Word, and they prepared themselves. And so I've grown up in this is familiar for me. This is my heart's passion. They were asking, you know how you fill out passwords, and they ask you crazy questions, and then you say what they are, and then, you know, a couple years later, you forget what you said? So there must have been a question for one of my passwords for something that they were trying to... programming my phone, and they said, what was your dream job? And I was like, Stephen said, well, duh, you put pastor. It's my dream job. I am actually living the dream job. I absolutely love it. But there are some things, so this is what I want to share with you today. At 25, I thought one way. At 45, I think a completely different way. As you grow up in the church world, as you grow up in God, and as you grow up and he gives you wisdom and understanding. So these are things that I want to share with you that I thought at 25, but now I realize at 45 that are completely different. Are you ready to go this morning? One thing, let's pray as we impart this last part of the word. Father God, I thank you that the time is now. That your spirit is in us. And because we're together... in one place, it's among us because it's in us. And we put a demand on the Holy Spirit for the revelation and the knowledge and the wisdom. As your word comes forth, that you would speak to us words that we've never even heard before. That you would give us things and give us dreams, give us eyes to see, give us the words and the revelation that we need to carry out the cause of Christ. For we have not just been born on this earth to occupy space and time, but we've been born on this earth because we were prepared in our mother's womb with a call and a purpose. It was from your design from the very beginning that we were created for your masterwork and your glory. For our existence is really nothing about us, but everything about you. So we ask that you would bring that reality clearer and clearer to our lives. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Hallelujah. I can skip all this part. One thing that I've learned that I thought at 25 that I don't think at 45 is this. I'm not responsible for everyone. At 25, you're very advantageous. You are ready to conquer the world, and I'm still ready to conquer the world at 45, but I have this reality that I am not called to everyone. I'm only called to the ones that God has assigned me to. And when we all do our part, then we reach the lost and dying world. And so I want to encourage you with this, that if you think you're not called to anyone, you're deceived. And if you're leaving the work up to me because you think I'm called to everyone, you're deceived. The reality is I'm called to the ones, I'm called to my calling, which is teaching and preaching the word and pastoring the local body. But I am there. God brings people in my path, and there is a divine appointment. That's what I call it. There's something that happens on the inside of me. I meet people just like you meet people, and there's something that's the Holy Spirit that lives inside of me. It'll almost, like Mary said, that the, or when Mary said about the baby being in Jesus, there's something that will almost come alive on the inside. You'll feel a sense of awareness of that person. There'll be something in you that's drawn to that person, and you'll think, oh, I like their personality. No, that's the Holy Spirit awareness in you. And you're not called to everyone, but you are called to people. And the Holy Spirit is always, always, say always. He always desires to move and function through you. And the whole, this is the, how this works. You meet people. You have a drawing to them. You encourage, you form a relationship with them. You begin to encourage them in the things of God. Then you invite them places, either to this church or to another church. You invite them. You engage them in the work of the kingdom. And as you do that, you build a relationship. And then you disciple them. And then that person in turn repeats the behavior. And that's how that works. But the Holy Spirit will give you divine appointments with people that come along your way. But you're not called to everyone, and I'm not called to everyone, so I'm not going to carry the weight of everyone. But if you carry your job and I do my job, then we'll build the kingdom daily. Amen. I'm not called to everyone. Can I share this with you in your life, though? Her brother Keith Moore said this a while back ago. He said there are certain relationships that God brings in your life, and he brings them in your life for a purpose, and it's part of his plan. And he said, be very careful disregarding those relationships. He said, you need to pay close. Sometimes people go, it's not a big deal. No. God brought them in your life for a purpose and a plan. And you should, the relationships that the Holy Spirit brings you, that he puts in your life by design, they're there for his purpose, and they are part of his actual plan in your life. Don't disregard those relationships. Number two, everyone's not going to like everything. Everyone's not going to like everything. I used to be worried, and if I could be really transparent, I still get a little worried. It's my insecurity. I'm growing in that area. Amen. I still have areas that the Holy Spirit's tweaking in me too. Okay, I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be growing until Jesus comes, ever loving, ever learning. But the reality of it is that when you don't like something, it makes me nervous. Because I think, here's my big picture thinking, will they leave and will they not fulfill the call of God on their life? Really not about will you not be at Coastal, will you miss the things that God has in store for you? And will other people miss out because of your irritation? And so I could, in the past, or could have the tendency to spend a lot of time worrying about your likes or dislikes. Wow, my armpits are sweating. But I feel like transparency is a really good thing. And vulnerability is a good thing. Because what happens is when we show the enemy out, he loses all of his power because there's no fear. There's just no fear in it. Because when you know that people love you, and actually the reality of it is I want you to love him more than you love me, because it takes the pressure off of me when you love him. I don't care, but I want you to like me and love me. But the reality of it is if you love him, you'll be more obedient to this. I don't want you to be obedient to me. I want you to be obedient to him. Hallelujah. You know, I did this little study. This came up in my heart about simmering and boiling. Simmering and boiling. And how they're a process that we use with cooking. And some of us are boilers and some of us are simmerers. And the reality of it is to have a good meal at your home, you usually do both. Because you can't have pasta and simmer it. If you simmer pasta noodles, you're going to end up with mush. So you got to have a raging boil to make some good baked ziti. But if I try to boil meat, I'm going to end up with something that's real dry and tasteless. And so if I want a good pot roast, I stick that baby in the crock pot and let that thing simmer for hours upon hours. Am I right, Mr. John? The best meat soaks in its juices and it rests in that and it simmers for days. And the thing about it is in the body of Christ, we don't all have to have everything look the same or be the same. The reality of it is some of you are boilers and some of you are simmerers and we all work together because we got to have a good meal. And guess what? Pop and I, we love to go to Blue Moon. And he orders barbecue every time we go there. And I think it's so stupid. But guess what? I order fish tacos every time I go there. Almost every 0.25% I might get something different at Blue Moon. And guess what? They have things on their menu I don't even like. But I still go there. I hate mushrooms. Hate them. Do you want to know another secret about me? I hate every single condiment. Mustard, ketchup, mayonnaise, relish, pickles, you name it. I hate, I like asparagus. I hate Brussels sprouts. I don't care if you wrap them in bacon. I hate Brussels sprouts. Tomatoes, raw, yuck. I might be a picky eater, but I'm still going to go to Blue Moon because they got things I like and their score is high in their kitchen. Do you know that your score is pretty high at Coastal? The food is good and it's decent and it's well prepared and it's well thought out and you got good chefs in the kitchen and we're putting out. You might not like the song selection that week. You might not like the small groups that are prepared that month. If you don't like it, start a new line. But the reality of it is there's something here and you don't have to have the pressure of liking everything all the time. Because guess what? Find something you do like. Find something you like. And the pressure will be off of each other to perform. Because we're not supposed to perform anyway. It's all about Jesus. It's about Jesus. I'm going to read you a scripture out of the Mirror Bible. Romans 12:4. Just give me 1 second to get there. Romans chapter 12. I'm going to read verses 4 through 10. Everyone has a part in the body. You know, Carson and I were talking a little bit about this last night. If you ever go to a party and everyone's brought something to the party, and you show up empty-handed, you know what you feel? Awkward. If everyone's walking in with a dish, and they're bringing their supply, and you walk in empty-handed, you feel like you forgot something. But the reality of it is when you come here on Sunday mornings, you bring something. Stop showing up empty-handed. That's why you feel like you don't fit. You would belong when you bring. And it's only when you bring that you belong. If not, you keep feeling like a visitor. And you got to get over the visitor status. Become a participant in the work of the kingdom of God. Romans chapter 12, verse 4. And the parallel is clear. There are many different members in one body, yet not one competes with the other in its function. Instead, every individual member co-complements the other. In Christ, the many individuals are all a part of the same body and the members of one another. 12:6. Our gifts may differ in function, hallelujah, but his grace is the same. It is your turn to prophesy. Let faith and not a title be your inspiration. Come on, there you go, Miss Patty. The same goes for every aspect of ministry, whether it's serving or giving instruction, Or just to be, I love this part, or just to be there along someone to remind them of their true identity. Always let faith set the pace. You are intertwined. Now check this out. Listen, just take this into your spirit. It took me a couple times to read it. You are intertwined with your gift, wrapped up in the same parcel. Lead with passion, minister mercy cheerfully. Love without any hidden agenda. Utterly detest evil, be glued to good. 10. Take tender care of one another with fondness and affection. Esteem one another's unique value. Don't you love that? Esteem one another's unique value. We all play a part. 3. Last thing I thought at 25. That I don't think at 45. Seasons change, and so do I. Anybody changed? Anybody the same person you were at 25? Please don't raise your hand. Seasons change, and so do I. But there are some things at Coastal Family Church that will never change. And as you bring these people in for At the Movies, and as we fill this house, and I had expectation because I believe that we are not just hearers of the word, but we are doers of that word. If we go out and we come in with the same status next week, I will be severely disappointed. Because I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't mean that you don't like me. It means that you don't value the work of the kingdom. It means that you want to just be fat and happy and do no exercise. In all reality, it means that you just care about yourself. Because there are people all around you that don't know Christ. And if you don't know them, then you need to get to know them. Your problems are not that big. You're not going to hell. And the Holy Spirit, it lives on the inside of you to work out whatever things that you are going through. But you don't have an awareness of Him because you're too busy thinking about yourself. We're going to fill this house next week. And Pop's going to preach the word. And people are going to get saved. I hope your friend's one of them. It'll be completely up to you. There is nothing else that Jesus is going to do besides save people. The rest of the work of the ministry is left up to us. I'll just be honest with you. He told the disciples to go and to do all the work of the ministry. He didn't stay there. He just left them the Holy Spirit to co-work with Him. If you're waiting for God to reach your neighbor, He's waiting for you. There is nothing more that God can do or that Jesus can do besides save people. And once He saves them, then the Holy Spirit lives in them. And then He teaches them things. And we teach them things. And you teach them things. But the bring responsibility is not left up to anybody but us. It's left up to us. Here's things that are never going to change at Coastal. We're always going to love people, no matter what their condition. So bring whoever you want. Married to whoever they want. Whoever they were married to, we don't care either. You just bring people that are hurting, that don't know Christ, and every single occupation, and every form of condition, you bring them. Because we will always love people, no matter what the situation. Always. We're always, here at Coastal, going to figure out new ways to reach people. Hence, we've done At the Movies. Every single week, we are endeavoring to think of new ways to reach people. New ways to help you reach people, because we don't want you to be powerless. And the third thing that'll never change is Jesus will always be our message. I can promise you next week and the week following, and every week till Jesus comes back to get us, that Jesus will be preached. He will always and forever be our message, and nothing will ever change about that. He is the only Savior. I'm not having that responsibility either. I'm going to read you a final scripture in Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 24 and 25. Let us also think of creative ways by which we can influence one another to find inspired expressions and doing things that benefit who? Others. Good actions give voice and volume to the love of God. Verse 25. In the light of our free access to the Father, let us extend the embrace to one another. Come on, check this part out. Take it in. Our gatherings are no longer a repetition of tradition, but an essential fellowship where we remind one another of our true identity. Let us do so with greater what? With greater urgency. I forgot where it was. Greater urgency. Now that the day is dawned in our understanding. Now that the day has dawned in your understanding, and you realize the urgency of the time, do what we do with greater passion. Stand to your feet. I went to the grocery store on Wednesday. Those of you that weren't with us last week, you didn't get to hear my detest of the grocery store. I didn't mean to be harsh if it offended you. I wasn't meant to be offensive. I realized something, though. I went to the grocery store on Wednesday for my mom. I left the office, and I was by myself. And I wasn't in a hurry. So I got to hang out. I walked the aisles. I talked to people. Spent some time with Mandel, Food Lion. I actually went to 3 grocery stores. I was trying to find sage sausage for my mother. But I realized something about myself. I don't hate the grocery store. I hate that I go there with no margin. I go in and I don't want to be bothered because I didn't leave any room to be bothered. If you want God to use you, you're going to have to leave some margin in your life. And if you crowd it up with all your stuff, yeah, he's still moving. He's still talking. But you can't hear. I didn't even know I liked the grocery store. Don't get used to it. When there's margin in your life, when the things of this world are not weighty upon you, when you realize the goodness of who God is. I thought it was so sweet. I thought about this morning just in my quiet time. The week of the wedding, I know weddings are busy. Lee Bracey texted me, I think it was on Monday. You know Lee didn't get invited to the wedding. You know what she did? She texted me and said, if you need anything at all this week, I'm available. You know that to be available, you have to have margin? To be available. Are you available? Are you available? Because people out there need you. They need what you know. They need your Jesus. They need salvation. They need the Word. They need the healer. The deliverer, and you have them. Stop being a hoarder and be available.